Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is Friday, the 5th of September, 2025. And the season is undoubtedly on the turn. The sun's a little bit more golden maple early in the morning. And you can feel, even sense those moths probably stirring in your cofre, knowing you'll soon be fishing out the big coat any day now. If you haven't already, that is. We've a starry show for you this morning. Your thoughts can be tapped out in the usual way. The WhatsApp is 087 032 32 32, and let your fingers do the thing on the email oliver@rte.ie. Yes, now we have fantastic guests for you this morning. Our guest today, first up, will be the man who showed us The Grey in Grey's Anatomy. This is going to hurt. Do you remember that? Did you read that book? Millions of people did. It was Adam Kay's personal account, like the diaries of an overworked doctor's life in the NHS in Britain. And it spent a year on the Sunday Times bestseller list. It won awards as a book and as a TV dramatisation, which happened on BBC. Ben Whishaw played Adam Kay in that. And staying in that world, Adam is back with his debut novel. But this time it's the question, do doctors make good murderers? I think they do. And it's crime novel, his first work of fiction for adults, packed with very funny asides, some of which we couldn't possibly broadcast at this hour of the day. But I'm looking forward to our chat with Adam Kay. And also we're going to be meeting Eurovision royalty Niamh Kavanagh. As visiting critic, as you know, we ask somebody to do something out of their comfort zone and review it for us as an unprofessional critic. And Niamh Kavanagh, it turns out, is not a big fan of heights. So naturally, we had to send her to the top of Croke Park to do the skyline tour, where you can see a lot of Dublin. It's 17 stories high. The bridge bit goes right over the pitch from the roof of the stadium. It's pretty dizzying. We'll find out how she got on. She's from Finglas. But I believe this might have been her first ever trip to Park and Croaking. We'll have to get her to explain all of that somehow. 51551, by the way, for the text. Now, David Bowie fans, sit up and pay attention. As we know, the man died, it'll be 10 years ago next January, would you believe? And his parting gift to the world was the final album, Black Star. And it was shaped by his diagnosis of cancer and his acceptance of mortality, even though he's only in his 60s. And he, in his final months, had started another project in secret. And he calls it in his notes an 18th century musical called The Spectator. And the existence of this project was completely unknown until his notes were discovered locked in his study. And they kept even that secret until now. And all of those notes of this strange musical donated to the V&A Museum in London with the rest of the archive from Bowie's life. But they've gone to the BBC now and they're showing Bowie's fascination with the development, particularly of evolution of art and satire, especially in 18th century London, alongside stories of criminal gangs and the notorious thief, Honest Jack Shepherd. I wonder, would Jonathan Swift come into the radar there? Because, of course, he's 18th century, mid-18th century as well. So no doubt if he's into satire, he would have heard of him and might have been included in the notes. We'll find out. And the musical would have been one of Bowie's lifelong ambitions if it had been completed. But we have the notes, and the notes are found exactly as he left them, pinned to the walls and stored in his office in New York, where he lived until the end. And the room was always locked. And only two people had a key to get in, Bowie himself and the personal assistant. So they were completely untouched until the archivists came and started cataloguing his belongings and couldn't believe what they discovered. And they're going to put these things on display in London from the middle of this month. Amazing tale of fascination. He was fascinated by crime and punishment. That was his interest in 18th century London. In a note they discovered, he envisaged the aftermath of a public execution with the surgeons fighting over corpses. So the macabre, very much interesting. He was an alien, wasn't he? He was an alien dropped to Earth, David Bowie. That's who he was. He definitely loved George Orwell's 1984. Those who have read the book, seen the film with John Hurt and so on, will know there are four key ministries that govern the state of Oceania in the Orwellian account of this dystopian future. The Ministry of Truth, Ministry of Peace, Love, Plenty. So the Ministry of Truth, of course, was the thing that gave all the misinformation. And the Ministry of Peace was all about the endless war. The Ministry of Love enforced the law and order in the most brutal fashion possible. And the Ministry of Plenty was really in charge of rationing. So that was to kind of illustrate the totalitarian regime's manipulation of truth and control and to discombobulate the entire citizenry. And so Donald Trump is to rebrand the Pentagon as the Department of War. That's right. He is directing the Department of Defence to be known as the Department of War. It's in his 200th executive order he has signed since he resumed office in January there. He's going to use the new name, Department of War, as the secondary title. Why is he doing that? Because it'll bypass Congress, you see, because you need an act upon Congress to change the name of a department and the secretary. But the secondary title will be kind of the main one, but it'll be sort of bypassing the rule, is his thinking. Which means the Defence Secretary, Pete Hegseth, who we've got used to and forgotten all the horrific scandal around him a year ago, or just months ago, he will now be the Secretary of War. That's right, the Pentagon, which oversees all the kind of armed services of the Americans, was the successor to the War Department. That was established in 1789 and existed right until the end of the Second World War. 1947, they changed it to the Department of Defence. And the BBC says it's seen the text of the executive order, which says the name, the Department of War, conveys a stronger message of readiness and resolve compared to Department of Defence, lame, wrong, which emphasises only defensive capabilities. So nothing to make your people feel safe and secure in their houses than renaming something the Department of War. The Department of War was established by George Washington but rebranded after World War II. The White House has yet to say how much a permanent rebrand would cost, but the US media expects $1 billion price tag because they'll have to change all the agencies that surround it, the emblems inside, the imagery, the email addresses, the icons and logos, the uniforms. And this is at a time when, you know, he's directed the Pentagon to cut spending and waste. But he has been repeatedly floating the idea of just turning the name into, he likes the name War, I like war. And he's upset, isn't he? Because his military parade was a fiddly, sad, piddly thing a few months ago. And China had a huge, huge parade, which was very impressive, it must be said. I mean, those dictators, they know how to get stuff done, for sure. And but he says, he's arguing the US has had an unbelievable history of victory in various wars. He hasn't Googled Vietnam in a while, has he? That war that he sat out because of his bone spurs. Yeah, I kind of love Trump, though. You know, it's just endlessly fun. By the way, fun weekend in store. The green wave of women, the women of Ireland playing, not all of the women of Ireland, just the rugby ones playing New Zealand on Sunday afternoon. And we're up against the world champions at the World Cup. It's going to be a big test, but we don't need to win it because we're already through to the quarterfinals in the tournament that's happening across in England. And of course, thousands are heading to the Irish Open at the K Club in the Lillywhite County to see those amazing stars of in the golden era of Irish golf we're having at the moment. By the way, in case you missed it, that's Donald Trump's second outing this week since he... rumours of his demise were greatly exaggerated. Donald J. Trump, this J stands for jingoism, we know now. He announced after his 7-day absence from public view. It's kind of like a panda is taken away from a zoo to give birth. He just disappeared for 7 days and he's back. But he announced that he's still alive. And there was, of course, audible delight at the news. And I like to think of his explanation kind of going, a lot of people said that I had died, which is fake news. There's never been a president more alive than I've been. The most I've ever been to the bathroom like 14 times in the last 12 hours. Nobody's seen numbers like this. Biden can go to the potty. In fact, I know he probably died in office. A lot of people say that he died. I saw the corpse. And even as a corpse, he was still busy destroying our country. Where was I? Donald J. Trump, not dead. But I tell you, if I did die, it'd probably be... I just keep on working, keep working. Bury me under the ballroom that I'm going to build with like the crypto money. No one does crypto like I do. And embalm me in an oil, American oil, the KFC oil. I'll still be here along with the cockroaches. No offense, JD. You can get some of the oil, sponge it off the walls of my bathroom. It's a beautiful bathroom and bedroom too. Also, if I died, it'd be the most incredible death. They say, wow. They'd say he looked so good at dying. The greatest ever. Better than Lincoln. He was a loser. He got shot watching theater. Who goes to the theater? Maybe women do. I don't know. I don't go to theater. It's full of woke people crying about slavery as if it was a bad thing. Whoa, no, I'm going to die at a wrestling pro final sponsored by slavery. That's the way I'm going to go. Wow. Donald died the American way. Shot by a machine gun made out of hamburgers. That's the way to go. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Here's some music. It better be good music. Hope it's not Mexican music or music from China. I can do music. I do the best music you wouldn't believe. I'm one of the most incredible people. It's the spaceman himself, on this Friday morning. Texas says, I saw David Bowie in the film last week. I was watching it. The Prestige, when he played Nikola Tesla, the electric inventor, in a great performance. It is magic. Now, of course, we have the Tesla electric cars as a texter. What a multi-talented man David Bowie was, as well as Tesla. Yeah, the Tesla cars have kind of ruined that memory of Nikola Tesla. A Christopher Nolan movie from nearly 20 years ago, imagine. Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale. And Bowie has very, very beautiful cameo. And when the camera pans outside with all those top hats littering the lawn. Amazing, amazing film. Okay, we're going to discuss a particularly nasty case from as far from cozy crime fiction as you can get with Adam Kay right after these.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.